Hey, this is Matt Hawkins, and you're listening to the Top Cow Chronology Project.
Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Presents the Top Cow Chronology Project. I'm your co-host, Jace. Just a quick reminder, if you want to take a look at the chronology, you can go to our website, thecomicsourceblog.com. Click on the Top Cow Chronology Project link, and if you look off to the right, you'll see a Comic Vine logo. If you click that, that'll take you to Comic Vine directly to Condor's chronology. And of course, we thank Condor for his hard work once again, putting that chronology together. Also, while you're at our website, you can check out Manny and my other projects, my YouTube channel, Manny's blog. You can check out the sketch gallery, things like that. Don't forget to drop us a line and tell us what you think. So in this issue, Manny and I are joined by special guest Jaden. Say hi to the folks, Jaden.
Hey there.
All right, and we're going to be talking about Tales of the Witchblade number 2. And as I've said in the past, Tales of the Witchblade is no longer in print as far as any kind of trade paperback. And in fact, I don't think there was a trade paperback that collected the entire run. I think there were collected editions that did 2 issues each. So your best bet to pick up any Tales of the Witchblade books is to go to eBay. Most of the individual issues can be found there, most of them for less than $1. Or perhaps you could find a lot. So they're relatively inexpensive. So let's get everybody's overall thoughts of Tales of the Witchblade 2. So what do you think, Manny? Overall thoughts of Witchblade number 2.
Well, before I give you my thoughts, let me just go through the writers and artists on the book. So it was written by David Finch, David Wall, Christina Z. Pencils by David Finch and Billy Tan. Inked by Matt Benning, John Livesay, Billy Tan, Joe Weems, and colored by Jonathan D. Smith and Tyson Wengler. As far as my thoughts on the book, you know, it's another one of these short stories that, you know, we've been looking at for the past few weeks. I like this one. You know, it's a good beginning for something. I just, you know, they're going to move on to somebody else on the next book. What do you think?
What do you think, Jaden?
I liked it all right. I thought it was kind of slow, but it felt like one of those comics that kind of just sets up for the next one.
Yeah, that's the thing about these Tales of the Witchblade. They're kind of like snapshots in time. You know, you go back to this certain period. This one happens to be in the 1200s, set in Sicily, the island of Sicily, which is in modern times part of the country of Italy. So it's just a little snapshot back in the 1200s. The Witchblade was on the island of Sicily. And we meet this woman who ends up wielding the Witchblade, Annabella Altavista. So while it would be a good setup, and perhaps they originally intended Tales of the Witchblade to be a setup, you know, let's do a little snapshot in time of this particular woman at this point in history getting the Witchblade. And then if one or another or several of them become popular enough later on in the Tales of the Witchblade series, we can go back and revisit, or even in the regular Witchblade book, we can bring her up to modern times somehow or do a flashback story. So I don't know what the original intention was with the Tales of the Witchblade book, other than to maybe have a second Witchblade book out. And if you look at this particular book, I believe this to be the first writing credit for David Finch. You know, he plotted the whole story and then he scripted it along with help from Christina Z and David Wall. So also a way perhaps for Top Cow to allow some of their artists who had aspirations to also write books to get a chance to kind of test them out and see how well they do on the writing side of things. So for myself, I enjoyed it. Again, it's not, you know, the most original story. You know, there's ideas in there that are kind of cliched.
Yeah.
You know, a royal in hiding and, you know, the bad guy coming to conquer and that kind of thing. So it's not like it's things that we haven't seen before, but I thought it was fairly good. And it was a little bit distracting for me having two different pencilers. It was really a big contrast from
it off a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you could really tell when you flipped to page 8 that that wasn't no longer David Finch's pencils. I mean, their arts are similar, but Billy Tan's art is just so much cleaner. And perhaps it's because he's inking himself for the most part.
Yeah.
So,
to some degree, these Tales of the Witchblade are a little repetitive. You have kind of the oppressed woman, whether on purpose or not. In this case, she was oppressed for, they were trying to protect her. And, you know, eventually the moment calls for her to stand up for herself. And that's when the Witchblade, you know, embraces her. So maybe in the next few ones, we get a little bit of a different take instead of the typical Witchblade story, which I'm starting to feel we keep getting.
Yeah, that's also true with these Tales of the Witchblade. But at the same time, it's, in order to tell the story from start to finish, it's you almost have to have that kind of setup, you know.
Yeah, there's only because so many ways.
if we met her and she already had the Witchblade, then we would be asking, well, how'd she have the Witchblade?
Yeah,
it's just a function of this entire story having to take place in one issue.
Yeah, well, I guess since we're doing it chronologically, you know, farther down the line, you know, the picture will be a lot clearer.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the first two issues of the chronology were about the woman in ancient Egypt, Raquel, and that was actually a two-part.
Yeah.
And that was felt good. A lot less formulaic than this one, you know. It wasn't like A, B, C, you know, so much like these are, like, as we've seen this one, as we've seen the one with, what was the girl's name who ended up killing the entire town? You remember? She went back and her dad was the...
Oh, that
Samantha.
Yeah, Samantha.
Yeah, that one and this one, I mean, it's very much similar. That one actually also written by David Finch. So, I mean, you know, and the other thing is you have to kind of give Finch some, you know, a little bit of a break. I mean, this is the first thing he's ever plotted, so.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's give a synopsis of the issue. First of all, I'll say there's a pretty cool cover by Finch, inked by Matt Banning, and colors by J.D. Smith of Annabella on a Horse. Although I will say that cape is awfully long. I think the horse would trample it and pull her down from the horse.
Yeah,
her cape were really that long.
Or it'd rip pretty soon in her riding.
Yeah. Okay, as I said, the story is set in the Kingdom of Sicily, 1213 AD. We see that Annabella is riding a horse and she's with a man named Amadeo. And Amadeo's urging her to return home. It's late. And she tells him to stop. She's lived at the monastery since birth, and she's 18 now. She wants to spread her wings. She'll no longer be held captive, especially if the Swamanians come. Now, I don't... Are the Swamanians, are they real? Swamis? That's what it made me think of, Swamis. Actual real people? Maybe Jaden can look that up while I continue with the synopsis. So they sneak back into the monastery, and Amadeo says that she had told him that they'd be back in time to do their chores, but we see the moon is rising already, and she says, shh, if we sneak in this way, we can tie the horses and do them quickly. She promises not to ruin his opportunity for a future communion with the hand of God. And we also learn that the sect that lives at the monastery is called the Emmanuel. And she mentions that she studied the Bible since birth. There's no mention of the hand of God that the sect holds on their altar. And Amadeo responds that it's not their job to understand the workings of God. But Annabella's response to that is she's seen only bad things come from the hand of God, bloody sacrifices. And as she's complaining about the sect, she's smacked on the hand, and we see that there's one of the monks there, He says he's been waiting for the two of them for 3 hours. He expects this behavior from her, but not from the new acolyte. The war will come soon, and they all must be ready to accept the hand of God if it chooses any particular one of them. God will decide who's holiest. And she responds that the sacrifices are barbaric. She believes that they must train their physical skills to gain power. And though she loves God, she doesn't think that God will save them. They must rely on themselves. And we see in the background another of the monks saying that that witch must learn her lesson. Later that night, that monk that was kind of in the background saying that she would learn her lesson actually goes into Annabella's room, says that she's evil and that she must pay for her unbridled ways. It's her fault that he feels sin in his loins, and basically he starts ripping off her clothes. Apparently he's going to rape her. And meanwhile, Amadeo hears the noise and heads to her room as the evil monk is ripping off Annabella's clothes. He sees a royal crest and realizes that she's royalty and they've harbored her for all these years. The Swamanians will be interested to learn this. Meanwhile, Amadeo shows up, punches the monk Betrondo, and he runs off, apparently heading for the Swamanian camp to betray the monastery and tell them that one of the royalty of Sicily lives. The other monks show up and learn what Betrondo has done, and they know that they must prepare for battle, knowing that the Swamanians will come for Annabella, being that she's royalty. So did you find out, are the Swamanians...
The Swamanians are just a religious sect that is only in this comic, this single issue.
That's a very strange name, Swamanians. It reminds me of, like, Swami. You know, yeah, from those old, weird, like, Flintstone cartoons and stuff. You're a Swami, you have special powers. So Annabella says when the Swamians invaded, her father was killed and brought... Oh, I'm sorry. She says her brother was killed. And her father, fearing that she would be killed, brought her to the Emmanuel to have the monk Raimondo watch over her. And when she was grown, it would be her decision whether to take the throne or not. So the monks say, we've erred in trying so hard to protect you from outsiders, we failed to protect you from those on the inside. We must find Betrondo and prosecute him. And Amadeo said that he's sure that Bertrando's on his way to notify the Swamanians of Annabelle, and there's no doubt they'll be attacked soon. And then on the following page, this is the first page of the Billy Tan art. There's 5 pages in the middle that are drawn by Billy Tan, and they are very beautiful, but as I said, they're so much cleaner than the David Finch pages that it's a little jarring. So we see that Bertrando is indeed betraying the monastery and Annabella. However, the emperor doesn't really care. He actually kills Bertrando, but decides that they're going to attack the monastery anyway, just to be on the safe side, to make sure there's no royalty left. Meanwhile, the monks in the monastery have gathered. Raimondo tells all the other monks about the secret that he's been harboring for these 18 years, that Annabella is part of the royalty of Sicily, and they all must protect her. So they're all going to take turns trying on the witchblade to see which one of them will be selected, if any. And Annabella peeks in. She doesn't hear the beginning of the speech, and all she hears is, we must put a stop to this, and quickly. And she thinks, oh no, they're planning on killing me, and runs off. She says maybe Amadeo will help her escape. Meanwhile, Raimondo's looking for her, and she says, you're not killing me, and smacks him with a giant book, knocks him out, and then returns to the temple and sees many of the monks laying on the floor, missing their hands. and in fact sees one monk trying currently to wield the Witchblade and seeing his hand severed. And she said, no, they're not killing me, they're killing themselves. And it's Amadeo's turn next, and she screams out, Amadeo, don't do it. All of you, stop this. For the love of God, no, no more sacrifices. Enough. And when she says enough, the Witchblade flies across the room and attaches itself to her. She is the chosen, the hand of God. It has chosen her. So she's the wielder of the Witchblade, and so now they're all going to defer to her judgment. They believe that God speaks through her, and they ask what God commands of them. And she says that they're going to do something the Swamians do not expect, which is fight. So they're not skilled fighters, but they do the best they can. They're pretty much are getting slaughtered. But so the power of the
Witchblade.
Yeah, the power of the Witchblade, even in the hands of somebody inexperienced, is formidable. So Annabella sees Amadeo get stabbed, and she shoots out a bolt of power. Destroys the guy that stabbed her, and the emperor sees her and says, yes, delightful, you're truly a special royal girl, but I am as well. And he turns into some kind of demon, transforms himself, and he says he has very few opportunities to let himself become who he truly is and to fight in his true form. And Annabella says that he's terrorized the monastery in this land for far too long, and she can protect herself. He must leave now. He says no and attacks her, and she zaps him, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
pretty much a one-sided anticlimactic fight.
Doesn't really stand up to his word.
No, she just pretty much zaps him, and he's done. And then she goes to Amadeo and says that she'll take care of him, and Amadeo says no. He's finally learned that it's time for him to take care of himself. And Sicily is currently in a land of darkness, and Annabella wielding the Witchblade is the light that can unite Sicily, and that's what she must do. And she says, Amadeo, perhaps when you're better, you could join me. And it ends. So a little bit of an open-ended ending there. So yeah, an enjoyable story, as I said. Plenty of cliche. You know, the hidden royal and the evil emperor. Much more so than Finch's work in Tales of the Witchblade 6, where the Witchblade was somewhat of an afterthought, we felt in that one. You know, it was more about the revenge story.
That's right. And the Witchblade just happened to...
Yeah, she just happened to have the Witchblade, and the Witchblade didn't even really appear until the very end. Whereas this one, right from the start, you know, they say Hand of God, you know they're talking about the Witchblade.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
The Witchblade was like a integral to the plot. I mean, the Witchblade was the reason that monastery existed. You know, it chose her, and if anything, what was minor here was the emperor. I mean,
yeah.
He was dispatched extremely quickly.
Yeah, I was just wondering if he had any of the darkness in him.
I kind of thought that too, that maybe he was the wielder of the darkness at first, but then he changed into that monster.
Then he was cut down too quick, and I said, no, maybe not.
I thought the characterizations were handled reasonably well. Also, it may be a little bit on the two-dimensional side, you know, rebellious girl, the newest acolyte, Amadeo, kind of the goody-goody, the monks, you know, kind of crotchety and old and supposedly wise.
Well, you can only fit so much in one issue.
Yeah. The art is pretty spectacular, though, both from Finch and from Billy Tan.
I do feel like there are a few frames that aren't quite to proportion, but... Other than that, it's pretty good.
Yeah, there's a few here or there.
Yeah, I have an issue with on page 13, I think it is. Her face, the way her mouth is drawn on that bottom.
Yeah, I was just looking at that too.
Yeah,
I would
that
say,
one was
yeah,
weird.
That's not the best layout.
And then the page right before when she's peeking through,
that one looks really good.
Yeah, that actually reminds me a lot of Michael Turner art right there from Billy Tan. It's interesting, you know, Billy Tan's the current writer on the current artist on Green Lantern, or he was up until issue 40. I think when the June mini relaunch started, Green Lantern's getting a new artist, but his art has evolved quite a bit from, I mean, here it almost looks like he's trying to be a Michael Turner clone to his more recent work on Green Lantern, much more of himself there. But, you know, the David Finch art is great, as it fish art typically is. You know, a lot of cross-hatching and good facial expressions, interesting layouts.
I feel like with his eyes, though, he tried to go a little bit Michael Turner as well, though. Tried to give it a little bit more of Michael Turner style.
Well, Michael, this was Michael Turner's heyday here, so... I mean, if you look on page 5, that the detail in the face of that monk is exceptionally good.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think about the colors?
I thought it fit really well.
Yeah, I thought they were appropriate.
Kind of muted. You know, not too many bright colors.
But I mean, in the 1200s, how many bright colors were there really, though?
True. I do notice in the Finch pages, too, that the backgrounds seem to be a lot lighter. There's a lot less in the backgrounds. That may be why we got those 5 Billy Tan pages. It may be that he, between, you know, writing a book for the first time, you know, plotting and scripting, he fell behind on the art. I mean, because really a lot of these Finch pages, there's little to no background, especially compared to the Billy Tan pages.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that now. I didn't even notice the backgrounds.
But all in all, a fairly enjoyable issue. I don't know that it really adds anything to the lore of the Witchblade as far as, you know, we certainly don't learn any more about the origins. We don't know how the monks came to possess it, and we don't find out where it's going to go from here either. So, all right. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us. Just a reminder, if you want to get in touch with us, you can go to Facebook. Just do a search for The Comic Source. That's us. Also, you can follow us on Twitter. twitter.com/thecomicsource. You can send us an email at thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. And as I mentioned earlier, our website is thecomicsourceblog.com. You can go and check it out, check out the sketch gallery, check out my YouTube videos, read Manny's blog. Lots of information there, and you can contact us directly through the website if you'd like. So join us next time on the Comic Source Presents the Top Cow Chronology Project, when we will be discussing another issue of Tales of the Witchblade. That is issue 5. We'll talk to you then.